Yes, welcome to the dark. And this time, the dark that we are talking about is at Midsummer Scream, which is this Jimungo show in Long Beach, California. It's it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and better and better. And because I am the speaker here, and because the folks who run the show are so incredibly kind to me, I'm actually able to walk the showroom floor during the setup process. And I just have to say, I won't go into any detail. Of course, you won't hear it until after the show is done anyway, but I just gotta tell you, this show is bigger and better than ever before. There are vendors here that are haunt artists. There are vendors here that are quirky prop things. There are vendors here that are haunt folks, haunters, haunt supplies. And of course, the thing that everybody wants to check out is the Hall of Shadows, which is where different haunters throughout California and the East Coast come and have the opportunity to show off a little bit of their haunts. So they actually assemble rooms, one or two rooms, several rooms, a show from their haunt. So it's, if you've never been to this show, you've got to come to this show. And I'm saying that, and it hasn't even started. I'm just walking around, checking things out, saying hi to friends. It's the ideal show if you are a fan or a haunter or a fan of haunt or a haunt fan or anything scary. It's got a little bit of something for everybody. It's amazing. The other thing that we're doing here is we are also doing a book signing, and I'm teaching a class on periodicals, podcasts, and poetry. So I will keep you updated as things continue, but right now I am just walking around, and they have, it looks like, and maybe I'm wrong, but it looks like they've almost doubled the size of the trade show floor. It's just huge. It is just huge. And all of the vendors are coming in. Sorry, I sound like a kid in a candy store. And you know why? Because I'm like a kid in a candy store. And I haven't even walked into Hall of Shadows, which is getting set up right now as well. But yeah, there's every kind of prop, clothing, special effect, you name it, it's here. I'm seeing long queues, like queue lines, speed lines being set up. I have no idea what that's for. That's going to be interesting. The other thing that's interesting about this show is, being based in Tampa, I don't always get out to the West Coast haunts. You know, I'm kind of East Coast based, so out here I can kind of walk around, no one knows who the heck I am, which is kind of cool. I have a few friends, which is great, but I get to see things that just are out of my realm, you know? I don't get to see all of the Florida haunters, but I get to see all the California haunters, and I don't know. Like I said, I'm just rambling because I am like a wide-eyed child right now. So hopefully this show continues on the amazing journey that it appears to have already started. And there are celebs here, there are haunters here. I'll get you later, I hope, during my class, I hope to get a shout out from everybody who attends. If anybody attends, we will find that out too. So this is the show that is all about Midsummer Scream. So let's find out what happens next. So now I'm walking through the Hall of Shadows, and they're still getting set up, but oh my gosh, this is huge. I can hardly wait to talk about these later, after we get a chance to walk through them. There's some returning haunts. We have Cal Haunts is here, of course, and then this, you hear the chiming in the background, is Elser Cemetery, which is located in Rancho Cucamonga, California. So there's that wonderful creepiness going on. They have a beautiful horse-drawn hearse out in the front of their experience. But it's neat because the lights are off. They're getting all their thematic lighting going. There's a beautiful moon light box that I don't know who it belongs to, but it's very cool. And I still, you can kind of hear the drills and the screw guns going on in the background, so they're still assembling stuff. But what's cool about this is guests actually get the opportunity to walk through these experiences and experience them, like a sampling of them in full three dimensions. It's not like, let me just show pictures and video. It's, hey, I'm going to come and build just a part of my haunt in this space. So everybody's running around looking busy. Realm of Shadow is here. I'm just walking by their stuff now. And I know that last year when we came, we were just kind of blown away by the quality, and the quality that's only set up for a weekend. You know, they bring part of the experience, set it up here. It's a phenomenal marketing tool, but it's also a great way to show the power and the strength that showing support for other haunts can bring. You know, it's funny to see everybody who's working all of these hauntettes or these mini haunts coming and working their schedule so that they can go and visit everybody else. So it's like going to a haunted theme park. Only instead of getting the full haunt, you just get the key rooms. And then also here in the darkness, I hear somebody wearing slider pads. I just heard slider toe guards. Anyway, so that's the way we see it. So that's what's going on, and I'll report, like I said, this is during the setup, so I will report back once it's all in full operation, and you can hear that it will be significantly louder, and there will be a lot more screams here in the Hall of Shadows. So, after walking around the show floor for a while, I came back to my wonderful little Airbnb apartment, which was across the street from a lovely little restaurant called La Traviata. And my friend and the editor and publisher of Follow the Story, Philip Hernandez, and I had dinner. And the only reason I'm mentioning this in this particular show is to talk about the real reason we attend these kinds of shows. Philip and I just had what was going to be a business meal about the book and about the book signing that's taking place here at the show and all that, all the practical stuff. But what we ended up doing is having a 3-hour dinner where we continued to come up with the next new idea, the next project, the next exciting thing, how we could work together, how we could cross-utilize our resources and create something new and different. The reason I mention this is, again, this is why people should attend these kinds of shows. To meet with folks in the industry, to share new ideas. The classes and the trade show floor and the new products and seeing the samples of the haunted houses are all great, but the real reason to attend shows like this is to share good ideas. So it's later in the evening. I'm just walking back to my apartment while I'm here in Long Beach, but I just wanted to make sure that we captured that and to make sure that all of you listening understand, if you are passionate about the haunted attraction industry and you look at your finances and you think, oh, I could never afford to go to all of these trade shows, or I could never afford to go to any of these trade shows, reevaluate, because getting people who are passionate about the same things in the same room and then who can go out and have one-on-one conversations about what could happen, what can happen, is really, really important. And it's really beneficial. Now, will all of the things that we talked about come to fruition? Who knows? I have no idea. But have we reaffirmed the fact that we can do a bunch of stuff that we never would have thought of on our own? That's... who knows what that's worth? All right. So I just wanted to make that point of this is why we attend these shows like Midsummer Scream. So I'm going to go back to the apartment. I am going to get some sleep, and I will hit the trade show floor with both feet screaming and kicking tomorrow morning. And I will be taking not only recording stuff, but also be taking video. So keep an eye on the YouTube channel as well. So good night for now, the first day at Midsummer Scream in Long Beach, California. Okay, so now it's the following morning, and I'm here at the convention center. It is still 45 minutes until the trade show floor actually opens, and the VIP line, the Gold Bat line, is already about a block and a half long. The general admission line continues all the way from the convention center, across a bridge, across the highway, all the way over, almost all the way to the water. It is one of the most popular conventions I think I've ever been to. And I think it's because this convention, unlike so many haunt conventions, targets both audiences. Not only does it target the haunted attraction folks, but it also targets the haunt fans. Now, the haunt fans are here dressed in their spookiest of attire. So it's similar to, in Florida, it's similar to Spooky Empire in that regard. But there's also representatives here from all of the major theme parks, including Knott's Berry Farm, Universal Studios, a whole bunch of local haunters here in California, Cal Haunts is here. This is just a behemoth. It's almost like going to a theme park haunted attraction experience on its own. Because there's all of these incredible queues. I'm looking right now at the line for general admission, and it is gigantic. In fact, they've just opened it up so that people can start going through bag check. Again, incredible, incredible. So if you've never been to Midsummer Scream, check it out. It's amazing. Okay, so now I'm actually on the trade show floor and it is in full operation. And I was able to get on early because being a speaker, I got to come in with the VIP folks. And so even then, there were already queues to buy everything. They have everything from Midsummer Scream merchandise, which includes a limited edition mask, to Midsummer Scream tees, to different vendors who are selling stuff here that is very exclusive. Everything is now in full swing, and it is only going to get crazier and crazier as the masses of folks continue to come in. I must tell you that, you know, Midsummer Scream has always been great with their graphics and their promotional stuff. And their t-shirts this year are just amazing. It's all very much a tiki theme, which is super cool. I can't decide which one I'm going to get, but I probably better get it soon because I know last year when I went back at the end of the show, the majority of things in big boy sizes were gone. So I think it's important to get over there pretty quickly, sometime in the not too distant future. Right now the line is already long, and like I said, they just opened up to general admission. I'm gonna just walk up and down the aisles a little bit and try to tell you a little bit about what I'm seeing for those of you who aren't able to attend this show, and I'm hoping that will give you an idea of the range that this particular show has. On my left right now is a booth that is Planet Paranormal, so it's Paranormal Research Group. Then the next booth to them is selling, they're called Spooksyboo, spooksyboo.com, and they're selling cards that are all with a haunt theme, but kind of a cute haunt theme. Across from them is a t-shirt and hat vendor. Across from, or right next to that one, is Black Willow Gallery, which has artwork, prints, all from a Halloween or haunt, all in a Halloween or haunt genre. There is bloodbathproducts.com. They have, as the name suggests, Halloween-themed blood, Halloween-themed bath products. Not blood product. Well, maybe. I don't know. They may have real blood in them. I should go over and talk to them a little bit later. But then we've also got everything from prosthetics manufacturers on one side to on the other side we have the Hotwire Foam Factory. So it gives you the idea that, and Hotwire Foam Factory is right across from this display booth that is selling adorable Haunted Village, Department 56, Haunted Village stuff. So there is something for everyone at this show. And this is just one aisle. I mean, this just goes on and on and on. It fills the entire Long Beach Convention Center. And this is all just the show floor, not even including the Hall of Shadows, which I will talk about later. Probably won't get to it until either later today or even tomorrow. But it doesn't matter because you're listening to this all at the same time anyway. There's memorabilia folks here who are selling old movie posters. And people are all in various, I almost said various and sundry, and you'd have to take a drink if I said that. But they're all in various haunt garb, everything from t-shirts from everyone's haunt to full-out cosplay characters. So far, I have seen more Beetlejuice than I had anticipated, but there's a lot of it out there. And this is also a great place for haunt artists to exhibit their wear. There are celebrities here from both well-known and lesser-known horror films that are doing signings. Being one of the super lesser-known celebrities, tomorrow I'll be doing my signing of my book for only an hour, because that's probably more than enough time to sell the three books that we're going to sell. I don't know, we'll see. But if you can't be here, you can get the book online. It's available on Amazon, or you can go to followthestorybook.com, or you can go to scottswenson.com/books. And that was the commercial right in the middle of this podcast. So, yeah, I just... Again, I know I sound like I'm overwhelmed. And you know why? It's because I am. I'm going to try to get, as things get a little bit calmer in the next couple of days, I'm going to try to get some interviews with some of these vendors and talk to them. But it's, if you like Halloween, this is the show. This is the show. This is two shows, this is three shows, five shows all in one, all crammed together here at the Long Beach, in Long Beach, California, at the Long Beach Convention Center. More later. So like I said, here on the trade show floor, there is such a broad spectrum of stuff. And this is something, you know, I go to a lot of these shows, and this is something that is really new, that I haven't really seen or experienced a whole lot of. It's augmented reality, and I'm here at the booth for AR Firm, and I'm talking to Roman. And so you want to tell us a little bit about what can AR do for the haunt community? I mean, I see a couple of different examples here, everything from what you're calling Snap Mask to an augmented reality experience that's live. What can this technology bring to the haunt industry?
What we can do with this technology is that it can actually provide the ability to try on a mask without it actually trying it on. So with augmented reality, we can take, for example, let's say it's a clown mask, and using the app, by downloading it, you hold it to your phone, hold it to your face, and through the phone, you can see what the mask looks like. And it's a 3D version, so it's very realistic, and it mimics your facial movements, it mimics your mouth opening, and then you can go through and try another mask. You can try whatever masks are available, so that at some point you can either purchase it or share it to see what the mask looks like on you. And we came up with this idea because we were at a conference not too long ago, and we were noticed that people were trying on these masks, and some of them were reluctant to do that because of hygiene issues or whatever. And also some of the masks are already sold out. So here's a way that, you know, you can offer the consumer a way to buy a mask without even being at a trade show or without being at the company's location. You could be overseas, you could be anywhere in the United States and purchase that mask.
So this could actually be something that is incorporated into the seller's website? Absolutely. or an app that the seller provides. But if you could do it on the website, like from the camera on your laptop, you could basically try on every mask they have in their repertoire, so to speak, and decide which one looks right with you or whatever costume you happen to be wearing or whatever.
That's so true, because we developed this to work both on a laptop and also on a phone. So you have the option depending on what you need. But as far as the mask itself, the key is to offer the consumer different choices, because we find some consumers are very picky. You know, they might want a Freddy Krueger mask, or they might want a Jason mask, whatever. But at the same time, sometimes they try on a mask and it doesn't look good on them, or it's too big, or the scaling is wrong. So this gives you a real sense of what that would look like. And it can be more than just masks. You can go in and be doing complete outfits at some point. But right now we're offering it to mask companies particularly, which can offer that option to their clients. So now they can, not only do they have their website or they have these trade shows, but now they can have an AR app that you can download And now provide them another level of access, another way to purchase.
See, that's really cool. And I know that we have some mask creators who are listeners. And so this might be something that could kind of set you head and shoulders above the competition. So you heard it here first on A Scott in the Dark, just saying. But I'm looking at this technology, and of course, as a haunt designer myself, I'm trying to figure out, with the snap mask technology, are there ways to incorporate this into like a live experience where maybe people go by, they walk by a monitor that has a camera on it, and all of a sudden they're transformed into a demon? Is that possible?
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, you can have this app and have a remote monitor or through the net where someone can be watching on a laptop or screen. You can send the signal and they'll be able to, let's say, act with this. Let's say it's not even a horror mask. Let's just say it's another character, an old man character. They can act as if they're an actor with this face on, and someone else in the whole part of the country or can see this experience. So it's almost like an actor being with makeup without having to pay tons of the money to have it. They can just have this app, put that character face on, and now they can become the character.
So you know how much this appeals to me with my love of interaction and immersiveness and making, you know, I always talk about make the guest a character. Well, this is a way to actually make the guest a character and put them in a mask without actually putting a mask on them. And then this is, I'm sure, something that they could conceivably download, maybe even, and it becomes a brag tag, something they could post onto their social media pages to help promote your haunt. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities with this technology.
There's a lot of opportunities. There's also, we're just talking about mainly the horror genre, but there's also, you know, the film, TV genre, where if you're an independent actor, for example, doing a reel, you can actually do a reel with different characters based on what you have on your app. So let's say we provide an app where you can have different actors download these characters. Let's say a company that does management, whatever, and they have a pool of actors. They can offer this to them, right? Free, whatever they want to do. And now you can become this character and then act out the part. Now, the great thing about what we do is we do very deep scans, meaning that it's very detailed. It looks very realistic. If we scan somebody, it looks like they're really there. So the great thing is that we provide different kinds of control points on that face. So you'd have your cheeks would move, your eyebrows would move, your eyes would move, your mouth would move, your forehead would move. So as an actor, you can express yourself having this mask on.
Well, I gotta say, just in looking at the booth here, and we did just meet for the first time, but just in looking at the booth here, you're taking technology that exists, but using it in the right way.
Right.
You're finding applications for it that apparently people haven't either thought of until you came around or just have never really reached out and grabbed for it. Now, I know this isn't exactly what you're necessarily talking here, but I gotta tell you, over in the corner of your booth, you have this really cool giant clown interactive experience. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that and what potentially that could offer us in the future?
Okay, it's kind of like with Snap Mask, the AR firm always is trying to be on the cutting edge. That's kind of what we like to do, is look what's out there currently and see if there's a way we can take that and bring it to the next level. In terms of an experience, in terms of technology. And we did that with something we called AR-XR. And basically, it's like VR without the glasses. So for example, you would have, let's say, a large LED wall screen with, let's say, in our case, it's a character. We have a clown. We have a 3D clown. And I mean, when you have that big screen, it looks like it's 10 feet tall. Well, the great thing is that with that clown, you've now become interactive with it. So it talks to you, you can talk to it, you can mimic it. It can be part of a show. It can be kind of a thing where you as a participant can now feel like you're in the scene. And then we add another level of interactivity, which is the background. So the way it works is if you're in front of the screen, for example, and you move to the left, the background will adjust to where you're positioned. Or if you move to the right, the background will change. If I move backwards, the screen aspect ratio changes. So it looks like I'm further away. If I move closer, it looks like I'm closer. And then the character, it has what they call backlight. So if the character gets out of the light area, it gets darker. If it gets in the light area, so it looks very realistic. And this is all happening in real time. There's no lag, there's no ghosting. You know, it's something where it's very realistic feeling. And that's the whole goal for us, is when you experience this, you lose your mind that you are really in the scene, kind of like a really good movie. You feel like you're part of it.
Well, I gotta say, even just in the video demo that you were showing at your booth, that was the thing that I mentioned that I really liked, is that as the character leaned forward or got closer, they actually leaned out of the light,
yes.
Which just nails the fact that it is dimensional and real and really cool. So I know that a lot of you who are listening are thinking, well, this is cool, but it's way out of my price range. And it may be, but I want to tell you, for those of you who are listening who are also working with large theme parks or larger, more successful haunts, you're probably thinking, well, I could probably do this with a costume or an animation. But if you think about it, once you start talking about, well, here's what it's going to cost me to purchase that giant clown animation, and it's only going to do one thing over and over again until the mechanics actually break down, and then you're going to have to fix it and repair it and replace it and fix the holes in the vinyl and the holes in the latex and the holes in the silicone. This is something that you might want to consider and look into, because it's, well, it's, I haven't seen anything like it before at any of the other shows, and this might be something that certainly with my listeners, certainly from a haunt standpoint, but we were talking about electronic dance music. There's all kinds of opportunities for this. So if somebody is interested in either the SnapMask technology or the ARX technology, what is the best way for them to find out more, website,
sure,
any sort of email address, that sort of thing?
Okay. So the company's called The AR Firm, and of course thearfirm.com, that's our website. It kind of talks about what we talked about today, kind of showed you visually some of the things we have currently developed. These things are available now, and we're also developing other things at the same time. Email-wise, you can contact me directly if you have any questions or suggestions. I'm Roman, R-O-M-A-N, at the, T-H-E-A-R-F-I-R-M, firm.com. That's my email. And I would encourage you to follow us on Instagram or, you know, any other social media where we're out there, and let us know your thoughts, let us know your suggestions. And one last thing I want to mention, extending your point, is, you know, we're talking about having, for example, an ongoing experience, let's say a horror experience. The great thing about this technology is that maybe initially it's a little more, but I think over time it's actually less expensive. Why? Because once you invest in the application, you have the platform. Switching out the content is not very expensive at all. So for example, let's say next year you want to change it from a clown to a ghost. We can do that. Let's say you want to change it to now an alien. We can do that. Versus having to build a whole new thing or buy a whole new animatronics, or we can do all that. Plus, the great thing about technology is that they can do anything. They're not limited to one particular type of interaction. So it gives you a lot more opportunities.
That's great. Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, again, if you've been listening for a while, you know that the one thing I don't like about animations is they do the same thing over and over again no matter what the guest does. And with this technology, they actually interact directly with the guests themselves, either via motion capture or recognizing the movements of the person. It's really cool stuff. Check it out. Roman, thank you so much for spending some time.
Thank you so much.
I really appreciate it.
Please have your listeners come to the website or send us a message, or feel free to give us their feedback. We're all about making entertainment, making it happen.
Absolutely. Check it out. So in my ongoing search for what is new, what is different, what is weird at this show, I have come across a booth that I have kind of, I hate to admit it, kind of fallen in love with because it's just so odd and wrong. It's called Diaphanized Specimens, and I'm here with Juan, who can kind of explain much better than I can. I'm just looking at him going, these look cool, but these are real animals that have been processed somehow to look like this. Can you tell the listeners, because they're not really seeing it, so can you tell them a little bit about kind of what the process is and what the end result looks like?
Sure thing. All right, well, it's Juan from Diaphanized Specimens. So the animals, first we preserve them with like a regular formaldehyde type of solution, like an embalming solution. And then after that, it's like when we do the special process, it's one chemical turns them clear and transparent. It's kind of like an acid, so it like chemically digests it. And so they still have their muscle on there, and the muscle gets clearer and clearer, and it's like slow and steady. It takes a while to make. So average is about 5 months, and it could take up to 8 months with some of the bigger animals. And so not exactly a fast turnaround.
Right, no, I can imagine. And in looking at them, some of them actually just kind of look, the best way to describe it is they kind of look like ghosts of the animals, because the bones seem to turn, for some of them, seem to turn sort of a vibrant purple, pinkish color, but you still see the muscle and the tissue surrounding it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and then after we get them clear, that's the next step. We stain them. It's like a chemical dye, and it reacts to the calcium in the bones, and then so it like bonds to the calcium, and so like whatever, like, they're permanently attached to it, and then we go and clear it again, and then you just see the cleared muscle and then the dyed bones. And how, and then with the original clearing solution, it like makes them translucent, and that's why when the dye gets soaked in, they still keep like, they still get somewhat translucent. And when you shine a light through them, that they look, you know, they light up and they look beautiful because the light shines right through the muscle, right through the bone.
Well, you have a couple here that have sort of an uplight going through them, which is super cool. The reason they intrigue me, fellow haunters, is if you're looking for like that hero prop or that really cool specimen that is in your queue or something that people are going to talk about going, oh my God, what the hell is that? This is ideal. I mean, this is just perfect. And I say this, you know, when I say it's weird and quirky and odd, I say that with a great deal of reverence and admiration, because that's what every haunter is looking for, is that next really odd thing. And the fact that they're real makes it even more interesting and cooler. It certainly adds from the PR standpoint. You know, I know that you could talk to, if you're doing media about your haunt and you're holding a fetal pig that's in a jar, I'm sure that gets at least some credit with the media. Yeah. So this kind of stuff, how long do these last in their state as they are now? So after you get done with them, how long can they last in these jars?
Forever.
They last forever. So they've basically been, I don't want to say mummified, because that gives people the wrong idea, but they're perfectly preserved in this state.
Yes, definitely. Our first specimens, we made them in late 2014, and we still have them. They still look pretty much the same as this. So about 5 years ago, is when we did when we first started doing this, and we kept like, you know, the first batch, like the initial ones, and they look exactly the same.
So that's amazing. Now, the only reason I mention this is these things are so cool, but they are a little bit on the higher end when we're talking about props for a haunted attraction, when it comes to finances. But if they last forever, you won't have to replace them. You know, it's not like going to the dollar store and picking up a piece of garbage that you have to replace probably before the run's over. This is something that can last year after year after year, and in fact, you could probably even make it a mascot for your haunt. So if people who are listening would want to learn more about these products, where can they find you online? Is there a website, email, whatever?
Yeah, so the name Diphonite Specimens, that's like our same thing, Etsy shop, and our Instagram and Facebook name. So you could just type that in, and it's all one word. Type that in on like all the social medias, and you'd be able to find us on there.
So for people like me who aren't, who diaphanized is a completely new word,
yes.
You want to spell it for them?
Yes, all right. D-I-A-P-H-O-N. I-Z-A-T-I-O-N. Diphonization.
See, you can't even say it. I had trouble. Yeah. I felt terrible and I couldn't say it. So I feel much better now. Thanks. I appreciate that. Well, guys, you really got to try this out, because it's, or at least check it out. Take a look at it, because they've got everything from lizards to snakes to fish to eyeballs of various. The most unusual, I gotta say, the most unusual.
Bit morbid.
Hey, not for my crowd. They're loving it. They're loving it. They're going, oh, morbid. We like that.
Yeah.
The strangest thing I think I saw was you have, is it an ostrich head?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Ostrich head. A preserved ostrich head. And then,
I think that's a Christmas gift for anybody that you don't know what to shop for. Get them a preserved ostrich head.
Yeah, definitely. Hide underneath the pillow and, they will appreciate it. They'll at least remember you.
It's the newest in like Godfather, the Godfather approach. It's not a horse's head. It's an ostrich head. That's super cool. Well, thank you very much, Juan. I appreciate it. It's diaphanized specimens. Check them out. You guys will think these are as cool as I do. So in true style of a Scott in the Dark whenever I'm traveling, now I'm just kind of walking around the place that I'm traveling to. So I'm walking along the shoreline here in Long Beach, and this is a really fun atmosphere, really fun place to be. Does it necessarily tie into a haunt theme? No, but it's just beautiful. It's the sun is setting. There are shops and restaurants, and it has a very boardwalk feel. And I don't know whether you can hear. As I keep walking, you'll probably hear some music in the background. But Long Beach is just a very friendly, comfortable city and an awful lot of fun to visit. So over and above coming to Midsummer Scream, I'm just glad that I get to come out and visit Long Beach, California every now and then. Oh, I'll go this way. Sorry. The one thing I will say that's a little bit of a challenge for me is the fact that I am, my body is still on Tampa time, so it's actually 3 hours later in my brain and in my body. So I have to kind of get used to the time change. And I know, wine. But that's why if I'm a little bit more spacey than usual, I know it's probably hard to tell, but if I'm a little bit more spacey than usual, that's probably why. The other thing I've discovered about Long Beach that I really, really like is there are three basic kinds of restaurants that I've discovered. There are chain restaurants that you can go to just about anywhere. There are touristy restaurants, which cater to the tourist trade. And then there are some local restaurants that are kind of fun to just sort of seek out and find out, you know, where do the folks who live here go when they want, say, good Italian food or a killer hot dog. And I've been lucky enough, because I'm staying at an Airbnb that's a little bit away from the convention center, I've been able to find a couple of those places. So it's interesting. It's a very rich cultural city, and it's a city that has, in my opinion, just the right amount of tourist appeal and just the right amount of hometown feel. It feels very comfortable, and the people here are, at least the ones I've encountered, have all been very welcoming, very kind, apparently very reggae based on the band that I'm walking by now. But that's sort of my little tiny take on what it is to be in Long Beach. Now, later this evening, I'm going to the costume gala. I am not in costume. I know. But I am wearing a cool shirt, so hopefully they'll forgive me for that. And then, of course, tomorrow is my class and the book signing. So we'll get more from that as we go. I spent some time this afternoon before I left the convention going through the Hall of Shadows. And it's interesting to see the different takes on how to haunt. Now, I have to, you know, you have to take it with a little bit of grain of salt because they don't have the time to set up a permanent installation. They're all temporary. They're quickly set up. They have to transport. But it does give you a very interesting sort of cross-section of the local haunt community and the styles and approaches that they take. And there are some that are, well, there were some that were scenically gorgeous, but performance lacking. There were some that were performance strong, but scenically unfinished, perhaps. And there were a couple that didn't really meet either requirement, in my opinion. Now, that makes me sound like I'm being very catty. I'm not. I just want to make sure that, again, everything we do to elevate the experience and make it better. I did, however, see one of probably my favorite rooms I've seen in a haunt in a long time. The first room that you walk into in one of the haunt samples in the Hall of Shadows is a room that is filled with nothing but old Halloween decorations. The old blow molds, you know, the plastic pumpkin heads, and then the papier-mâché candy holders. All that creepy stuff that is what I actually like to use in my house to decorate when we decorate. And then there were two characters in there who were wearing the old vintage papier-mâché masks that kids used to wear a gazillion years ago. Before you could buy them, you had to actually make them, you know, that kind of thing. And all of the blow mold lights were flashing, and it was just really coolly reminiscent of a very creepy vintage vibe. I liked it a lot. So that's where we stand. That's my my look on the day, and we'll see where we go from here in Long Beach, California. Okay, so the class has started. I've mentioned it a couple of times. This is everybody in the class who is learning about Scott in the Dark and podcasts and poetry. Everybody say hi. How's the class going so far?
Good.
Okay, good. They're happy about it. That's good. And, you know, I was a little concerned that it'd only be two or three. There's more than two or three, so that's good. That's a good thing. But anyway, I just wanted to point out that you can find content for your podcast anywhere. And that's one of the points that I'm doing in the class. All right, so now I'm going to go back to the, probably back to the show floor. Or we'll talk about signing later. But anyway, this is the class. Everyone say, a Scott in the dark.
A Scott in the dark.
Perfect. I'll edit that later, and we'll just use that as a promotional piece in the future. Thank you all. Okay, so the class is done, and the book signing on the trade show floor is done. Thank you so much to everyone who came out and said hi and bought the book and got us to sign it, and it was very encouraging. We had some folks in the class who were really very, very positive. So just thank you to everybody involved. I really do appreciate that. And so now I have dropped off the rest of my stuff back at the apartment and am going to go back to the trade show floor for one last shot. I don't know exactly what's going to happen there, but I will certainly give you an update when we figure that all out. And I also want to go and grab a little bit of late lunch. So as far as classes go, it's interesting. You know, we talk about different shows and what they really focus on. And with this particular show, although it is very much a blend show when it comes to classes and panels, I think this show is really targeted for those people who are fans. And I've discovered that with my classes, because last year I taught a class here on actor training. And this year I taught the class on periodicals, podcasts, and poetry, which was a little bit more sort of horror fan-based. And it was things were much better received from a class standpoint this year than last year, which kind of shows me that, you know, okay, that's kind of the direction I need to go. But there were podcast listeners, there were Scott in the Dark listeners, which I was thrilled. They were there. So thank you guys for showing up. Thank you guys for being listeners. I really, really appreciate it. And it was great to see people again. And it's just so nice to see that people actually benefit from me rambling into a recording for a while. It was also great at the book signing to hang out with Ted Doherty, who wrote the foreword for the book for Follow the Story. And of course, Philip Hernandez is always fun to hang out with. And we've been planning ever since our dinner. We've been planning the next, you know, crazy ideas that we're going to try to implement. And then Doug Schaefer stopped by, who did the cover illustration. He stopped by to toss one of the VFX bungee heads at us and sign a couple books, and then went back to his booth, which is good. That means he's busy. That means they're selling stuff. So anyway, I really do appreciate everybody who attended the class, who stopped by and said hi when we were on the trade show floor. And so now I just get to play some more and maybe catch another interview. We'll see. I'm not promising anything. You never know. So that's the next update, or the most recent update, from Midsummer Scream. Okay, so as promised, I am able to get another interview with another one of the really cool vendors and stuff that you may or may not have seen. I've seen this at other shows, but I gotta say, it is still relatively new and super cool. I'm here with Jennifer from Bloody Bath Mat. Now, can you explain what this is all about? Because, I mean, I'm looking at it and it's really cool looking, but these guys are just listening to it. How would you describe this really nifty product that it's just downright cool?
All right, so we have a couple of variations. We have bath mats and shower curtain panels. It's gonna look like just plain white plastic, very boring and uninteresting. Then you take just plain old tap water, splash it on it, and instantly looks like blood splatter has gone everywhere. So you get the bloody footprints when you step out of the shower, blood all over your shower curtains, lots of fun.
So those of you who have your own haunts and you're thinking, I have a bathroom scene. Gosh, I wonder what I could do that would be new and different this year. Putting up these shower curtains would be absolutely amazing because it's interactive. It's interactive with your actors. Now, I suppose you could even have the guests come up and, you know, if you got the guests' hands wet and have them do handprints. Does it do handprints if they're wet?
Handprints look amazing, but it's really great for them. What a lot of haunts have actually purchased the panels for is they've purchased multiple ones, put them along the walls behind the actors for scenes like medical scenes or butcher scenes, and when the haunt actors are actually hitting their props, they're doing it into water, which is causing a spray behind them that looks like blood. So you have a bloody interactive scene that will absolutely not get on your attendees.
That's brilliant. I love that. And then how long does it take for it to go back to white? I mean, I see that it as it dries, it sort of fades and then goes back to white. How long does that take?
So if it's just hanging out, air drying, it takes about 10 to 15 minutes to go completely white. However, another thing a lot of people are doing is buying multiples to switch out, or if you have a large fan, it will absolutely speed up the drying process so that it can reset your room.
And I would like that too, because you know how I like to have haunts that touch people, and fans are a great way to do that without breaking any laws. So you can get a fan out there blowing, and it makes things move, and it makes your bloody bath mat or your bloody shower curtain dry a lot faster. Now, if listeners wanted to see what this is all about or purchase it, is there a place online that they can get more information and find out all the coolness of this product?
Absolutely. You can check us out at bloodybathmat.com. You can follow us on Instagram at bloodybathmat.
Awesome. Jennifer, thank you so much. And I want to go back and splatter some more blood. Can I do that?
Absolutely. It's very therapeutic.
It's kind of addictive. I'm just saying. All right, so I'm going. So the trip is now at an end. And as so often happens with my traveling episodes, I am recording this last installation at the airport. So I'm here at LAX, getting ready to fly back to my home base in Tampa. And I realize this has been a very jumbled episode, kind of stuff going all over the place, me running the gamut from being excited to being interested to being downright crazy. So, but I do want you to understand that for those of you who don't get a chance to attend these kinds of trade shows or seminars, that this is kind of the way they are. There's a little bit of crazy going on. It makes us all very, well, ultimately exhausted. But for me, it kind of shakes up my status quo mentality when it comes to the haunt industry, and especially a show like this one, which is filled with fan stuff as well as professional haunter stuff. So I hope you've enjoyed the episode. I hope you had a good time. Once again, if you get a chance to go out and attend any of these shows, any of these trade shows, I strongly recommend taking it. Not only are they a bunch of fun, they're also a great way to meet people. They're a great way to form and reinforce relationships with people within the industry. And it's a way to get a new perspective on what we all do and what we all care so much about. So until next time, this is Scott Swenson from A Scott in the Dark saying, rest in peace.